You are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
We've been talking about building an altar to God. An altar represents the place of sacrifice in your life. Sacrifice is something that costs you something. David said, I'll never give God anything unless it costs me something. Somebody say something. No, somebody say something. Because the evening services, you've got to preach. You've got to preach yourself out of prison. Preach yourself out of discouragement. You're going to praise yourself out of discouragement tonight. You're going to pray yourself into the blessing of God tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, coming to him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Somebody say spiritual sacrifices. Say, I am called to offer spiritual sacrifices. Say it again. Say, I am called to offer spiritual sacrifices. Say it again. Say, I am called to offer spiritual sacrifices. Well, what did you bring tonight to offer? Anybody shout something. What did you bring? What sacrifice did you bring tonight? What sacrifice did you bring tonight? Because your comfort is not a sacrifice. Your religion is not a sacrifice. Your doing things yesterday is not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that costs you something. God meets you at the place of sacrifice. The first altar we looked at and we spoke about is the altar of sacrifice. When praise goes up, heaven comes down. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15, the Bible says, therefore, by him, Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So you're not going to offer a sacrifice of praise with a closed mouth. Anybody here tonight that wants to offer God a sacrifice, you've got about 5 seconds right now, starting now. Amen. Psalm 54, verse 6, the Bible says, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 27, verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer the sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle that you have tonight. I will sing, yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. We saw that Gideon built an altar of sacrifice. Remember in the Old Testament, when people offered something to God, it was symbolic of their praise and their worship. Whenever God did something in their lives, the first thing they did was build an altar and they sacrificed. Remember when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem after the Ark of the Covenant had stayed in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the Lord blessed him because of the presence of God. David went to gather the presence of God, and you will read that. It was a great procession. Every few paces that they walked, they offered oxen and they offered sheep and they sacrificed unto God. And then they would walk a few more paces and they would sacrifice. So the Bible says we should continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. We should continually be thankful in all things, in every situation. We need to be thankful unto God. Because when we offer sacrifice, God inhabits our praises. Jehovah Shalom shows up in the midst of praises. Heaven shows up when we offer the sacrifice of praise. And by the way, I'll say it again, heaven beats hell every single time. In your darkest hour, you have to build the altar of praise and the altar of sacrifice. Come on. In the midnight hour, you need to praise God because Jehovah Shalom will show up. Somebody say Shalom. No, not three somebodies. Everybody say Shalom. Say to your wife tonight, Shalom. Say to your best friend tonight, Shalom. When we praise God, Jehovah Shalom shows up. The word Shalom means safety, peace, well-being, happiness, goodness. prosperity, perfect peace, favor, rest, welfare, it is well. The sense of it is well shows up. The second altar we have to build or keep alive in our lives is the altar of giving, the altar of sacrifice. Genesis 22, remember, God came to test Abraham, and God said to Abraham, give me your son, your only son, the one you love, and offer him to me as a burnt sacrifice. We know Abraham obeyed. When he laid his son on the altar, God spoke to Abraham, and God said, Abraham, so he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. So at the altar of sacrifice, when we give, when we bring our tithe and our offering, God manifests himself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. A lot of people want God's provision, but they're not bringing the sacrifice. They're not bringing the offering. They do not bring to the altar of the Lord, the house of God, the tithe. Remember what God said in Malachi chapter 3. Prove me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. The preceding part of that verse is bring all the tithe into my storehouse. Somebody say, bring all the tithe. No, we're getting quieter in this place. Nothing is going to happen that way. Everybody say, bring all the tithe. What must you do with the tithe? Bring it. Where do you bring the tithe? To the storehouse. That is your sacrifice. When you place your tithe on the altar of worship, when you bring your giving to the altar of worship, then Jehovah Jireh shows up. God's provision shows up. So to have Jehovah Shalom manifest himself in my life, I have to keep praise alive. To have Jehovah Jireh manifest himself in my life, I have to keep my giving alive. The words that come out of my mouth, my praise must be alive if I want Jehovah Shalom to show up in my life. When I have a negative report from the doctor, when finances are not the way they should be, I should offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Come on, somebody. Can somebody in Pretoria stand up and offer to God a sacrifice of praise? Come on. They're in Cape Town, in Stellenbosch. Come on. The second thing which is equal to that is the sacrifice of giving. A lot of people lose their spirit of praise and they lose their spirit of generosity. They stop giving. They serve God with a closed mouth and a closed hand. We've been called to sacrifice, not to buy the blessing, but to partner with the blessing of God. This is Abraham, 430 years before the law. God says to him, give me your best. And God says, now I know that you fear me, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your only son, the one you love. God is a God of firsts. God doesn't want the leftovers. God wants the first, because the first redeems the rest. The first ensures an afterwards. If I give God first what belongs to him, then Jehovah Jireh is my provider. Can you say a good amen? I want to talk about the third redemptive name of God, which is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, or the Lord my victory. When praise goes up, heaven comes down. When my offerings go up, provision comes down. When my prayer goes up, deliverance comes down. If you're going through a difficult time, you can pray. A lot of people are not praying. A lot of people have become silent Christians. And my brother and my sister, when we fail in prayer, we will fail everywhere. Exodus 17, verse 8, the Bible says, Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he laid down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now get the picture. Moses is standing on a hill. Amalek has come in the valley to challenge Israel and to drive them out of their inheritance, their dream, their vision. And Moses does something amazing. He goes to the top of the hill, which signifies he goes to the place of prayer. He goes into the mountain of the Lord to meet with God. He's not going to get down the wall and fight the battle down there. Joshua will be fighting the battle, but Moses does the most important thing. He does the first thing. He goes to the mountaintop and he raises his hands to God and he prays. And watch this, the Bible says. He's overlooking the battle. While his hands are up, Joshua prevails. When he lets his hands down, Amalek prevails. While he prays, there's deliverance. When he stops prayer, because he's weary, tired, cynical, discouraged, the enemy gains the initiative. God gave us this powerful weapon of prayer. When we pray, things happen. When we pray, the heavenlies move. When we pray, history will be made. Somebody say amen. Verse 12, the Bible says, Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So this is how Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not wrestle. We do not war according to the flesh. Our battle is never in the natural. It's a spiritual battle. For things to change out there, we have to change them in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6, verse 12, the Bible's 10 says, finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Understand that Satan is a trophy hunter. Understand that Satan wants to keep you from your inheritance. And if you're in your inheritance, he wants to rob you. He's a thief, a plunderer. God gives you the weapon of prayer. You raise the banner, the victory, through raising your hands and standing on the mountaintop before the throne of God, keeping prayer alive. Prayerlessness allows darkness and death to reign. Through prayer, we have the authority to stop the devil's destructive works and to see the rule of God come. Keep the altar of prayer alive. Keep the incense burning. Keep the morning watch. Keep the midnight watch. Keep prayer alive, because God answers prayer. When prayer goes up, deliverance comes down. When we stop prayer, the enemy gains the advantage. And this is what happened. While his hands were raised, Joshua defeated Amalek. But every time his hands became weary, the enemy pushed the Israelites back. When he prayed, he had the advantage. When he stopped praying, Amalek had the initiative. When he prayed, he had the advantage. When he stopped praying, Amalek had the advantage. Now this is where people miss it, because when they're in momentum, they don't realize what caused the momentum. So they start treating these altars carelessly. When they got saved initially, they were passionate about praise, sacrifice, being thankful. They were passionate when they had little to honor God with everything that came. They honored God. But then they became careless. They were passionate about prayer. Early in the morning, they would have their dialogue with God, their listening room, their quiet time with God. They spent time with God. But as they went on, they forgot what it was that caused the blessing to be released in their lives. So they treat the blessing carelessly. God wants to open the heavens and pour out such a blessing that they shall not be room enough to receive. But we have to prepare the way. And I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about what we see in the Bible. God is eternal. God who reveals himself by his covenant names, Jehovah Shalom. One of his seven Old Testament covenant names, Jehovah Shalom. I am the Lord your peace. The Lord your, that will bring welfare, well-being, sanity, peace, joy to your soul. Because when we lose our peace, our minds begin to run wild. That's why we start with the altar of praise. From the altar of praise, those altars standing next to one another. The third thing, the third altar, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord my banner, or the Lord my victory. There's a victory waiting for you on this other side of every battle. Say a good amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But you've got to keep your hands raised in a V. Amen. You've got to keep your hands in a V. You've got to keep your hands in a V. Come on, lift your hands, man. Those of you that have never lifted your hands in the church, lift your hands, come on, in a V, in a victory, and give God the praise because He's worthy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Too many people have become heavy-handed. Their hands are hanging. And the Apostle Paul says, lift up the hands that hang down. Heavy-handed when it comes to praise. When it comes to giving, when it comes to praying. I mean, it's the most natural thing when you talk to God that your hand should go up. Watch any little child. It's not a religion. Any little child, when they run to their dad, it's like this, Abba, Father. The Bible says we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's why we do not stand before God with closed hands, with folded arms. We stand before God with praise, with worship, with adoration, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he says, I would therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Come on, because the battle is in the spirit. The breakthrough is in the spirit dimension. If you want to see things change tomorrow, you have to impact the spirit dimension. Although it doesn't make sense to your natural, Moses stood on the mountaintop, and while he prayed, the power of God was released. Come on. The presence of God was released. The deliverance of God was released. While he prayed, things were moving, shifting, and changing in Jesus' name. So while prayer goes up, Jehovah Nissi will manifest himself on the battlefield. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. So you've got to praise, you've got to give, and you've got to pray without ceasing. Because these are sacrifices that you bring. Not to earn anything, because you have God's favor. Everything you receive is by grace, but God gives you certain instructions. There's a lot of people, when they think about grace, they think they don't have to do anything. It's exactly the opposite. When grace touches you, grace changes you. Grace empowers you. Grace liberates you. Grace takes you where the law could never take you. So when you are under grace, you are a greater soul winner. When you are under grace, you are more generous. Say amen. When you are under grace, you praise louder, not softer. Not I'm under grace and I can do what I want. No, you used to do what you want, but now you are saved by grace. So if we want to talk about grace, we want to talk about a changed life. The end result of grace. What does grace look like in your life? What does grace produce? Christ-likeness. More like Jesus. Lifestyle, attitude, thoughts, deeds, actions. So we're not saved by works, but grace causes an unstoppable work in our hearts, like the Apostle Paul, who said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was given to me. Many people use grace as a cop-out not to obey God. That's not grace. Grace is the divine influence of God upon your heart and the reflection thereof in your life. It's Christ's reflection in your life. I don't try to please God, I please God. These altars do not become a work of the flesh, but a response of my heart. Praise is a response of my heart because of God's grace. Giving my tithe and my offering is a response of my heart. Remember, every altar is symbolic of worship. You worship God, which is why God delivered Israel, that they may worship me. Worship is giving God something out of your free will. So bringing my offering, my tithe, is really a reflection of what is going on in my heart. Is I'm thankful. I don't forget. Because grace never forgets. I am what I am by the grace of God. I have this business because of God's grace. I am saved because of grace. I am married because of grace. I am alive because of grace. But that grace isn't something abstract. It produces something which the law could never produce. It produces not works of obedience, it produces a heart of obedience, a nature that yearns to please God. Well, if that's not there, then the salvation should become questionable. Because the very fact of your salvation is the working of grace that changed your nature. So grace brings me to a place of honor, a place of revelation of who God is and of who I am. And I realize I am what I am by the grace of God, that God is in control of my life when things seem to be out of control. And because of that, I am intentional in my journey of serving God. He has already provided, but you have to walk in your provision. The promises are yea and amen, but not automatic. You walk in them by faith. God so loved, He gave. He gave His best. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His everything. He left a pattern for you and me to follow. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, be imitators of God. So let's talk about God. Who is God? God is love. Imitate love. God is forgiving. Imitate forgiveness. God is extravagantly generous. Be extravagantly generous. There's no meanness in God. God is good. God is kind. God is merciful. Not God is judgment. So when you imitate God, these altars come alive because your heart is alive before God. It's not a religion where you come in church on a Sunday and shout for 2 minutes and then forget about God the rest of the week. We're talking about keeping these flames burning, keeping these altars alive every month, that you look for signs of God's goodness in everything. Even in the midst of tragedy, you look for signs of God's goodness. Even when you go through the darkest moments in your life, you look for signs of God's goodness. Like Job, when he lost everything in one day, I don't know another man that went through the tragedy that Job went through. His wife looked at him and said, why don't you curse God and die? He never did. He fell to the ground, but he never gave up. He fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, I will worship my God. In the lowest moment of his life, he never lost his spirit and his attitude of worship. Come on, Jonah in the whale's belly, he worshiped God. Come on, in the midnight hour, you have to worship God. Come on, in your greatest trial and tribulation, you have to worship God. And you have to choose to say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Even if all the hell breaks loose, you have to say with your mouth, God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Come on, someone, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is sovereign, but one thing he will not override is your will, your willpower. He could have. He could have controlled all of us like robots and on a certain date in a month, push a button and we all go, biddy, 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 EFT, tithe. He chose not to, because he created you in his image, which makes you like God. You have a free choice every day, every moment. And there's no worship without freedom of choice. There's no worship without freedom of choice. No worship, no sacrifice, no offering that is worthy of him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, please. If you stand, please remain standing. The presence of God's all over this place. You've come here tonight, there in Pretoria, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Windhoek, Gaborone, Kimberley, one of our many churches across the country. And you know God's talking to you. We talk about an altar. Building an altar for God, and you realize that your life is not right with God. That if you died tonight, you don't even know where you would spend eternity. That you don't have peace with God. That maybe at one time you served God, but you've grown cold and you've wandered away from Him. The greatest gift you can give God is your life. It's to open your heart and allow Jesus to take His rightful place. God is talking to many of you. I want you right now to forget your friends. Listen to your heart. Is Jesus talking to you? Is this your night to make right with God, to come back to God, to give your life to Jesus, to surrender all to Him? Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how low you have sunk. Jesus loves you, and He's waiting to restore you and forgive you. But you have to place yourself on the altar tonight and receive God's mercy into your life, a new beginning. I want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, that's me. Forget every person around you. Close your eyes to make it easy for you. They're in Pretoria. God is knocking at your heart tonight. You can shut the door of your heart or open and allow Jesus to take his rightful place. I hope you allow Jesus to take his rightful place. I want to pray for you before we close this service. You say, that's me tonight. I want to get right with God. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Then I want to pray for you all over this place, all over our churches, wherever you are, right there. Pray this prayer tonight with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Thank you that you love me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power tonight to live for you. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that I'm free. My past is gone forever. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you are the Christ. Tonight, I give myself to you. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior forever. I forgive everyone that sinned against me. I'm your child forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.